Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, Mlingo. It's an afternoon this side. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. It's been a minute.
It has been. It's good to be back.
Lovely. Great to have you back. I know that you are normally somewhere around the globe. So
I'm in Cape Town today. I'm in Cape Town today.
You could easily be in London. You could easily be
true story.
In New York. You could easily be in Iceland for all I care. Now, we're talking about today's evolving workplace, and employers are quite increasingly expected to go beyond basic legal compliance to foster inclusive, supportive environment. And among the groups that deserve thoughtful attention are pregnant employees, individuals balancing the excitement of starting or growing a family with the demands of their careers. Supporting pregnant employees isn't just a legal obligation. It's a chance to demonstrate genuine care, improve staff retention, and also promote a healthy workplace culture. Now, Mucha, say an employee informs a leader that she is pregnant. What should the immediate first steps be? How can a leader ensure that they feel supported? An employee feels supported and not penalized for being pregnant?
I think the first is just really to congratulate them genuinely, right? Your first response is going to set the tone, and it must really show your joy and not your hesitation. Mm. Yes, indeed, when you're supporting a pregnant member of your team, there may be some challenges that you will need to navigate as a leader. Mm. But the most important thing is to show from the very beginning that you will provide the support that's needed. Mm. What I've realized and what I've learned is that leaders who support their pregnant employees, actually, you know, one of the things you talked about was retention. And it's very true. Women are loyal. And when you show that you are really invested in them, and you're willing to navigate this season with them, positively excited for them, and not just thinking at the back of your mind about all the impact that it may possibly have, then it actually really makes a big difference. So I think the first thing is acknowledge with warmth, really congratulate them genuinely, because how you respond initially is going to set the tone for the journey. Mm. And then I think it's very important very quickly to reassure them that as a leader, you value their contribution and you're committed to supporting them through their pregnancy, whatever that looks like. Because for different women, it looks different, right? And so, you know, you need to, and not just say it with words, but genuinely mean it, recognizing that the investment you make is 9 times out of 10 going to yield a return for you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, take a practical next step. Ask how they would like to manage the communication of their news. Mm. So, you know, do they want to inform the rest of the team? Do they want you to do it as the leader? And, you know, just think through how can we start to already transition for the time when they're away, so that we make the transition as seamless as possible with as minimal hiccups. Yeah. So don't go straight to the practical. Start with the person. You know, I think we've had conversations here many times, and you know, we must remember that we're dealing with people, humans. So let's connect on a human level first, but at the same time we must conclude by just talking about the practicalities of it.
Now, sometimes they need, there is a need for workload distribution during you know, parental leave. How does a leader proactively address any potential resentment from other team members who were to take on extra work during that leave?
I think, you know, I would say three things. I think, firstly, communicate openly about why this redistribution is necessary and how it will be managed. A lot of issues, resentment arise because of a lack of clarity. There's a lack of transparency. Right. Assumptions are just made by the leader that, oh, Mucha is going on leave and so-and-so will just pick up the slack. But we need to really communicate openly. The second is, let's also recognize publicly, acknowledging and appreciating the extra efforts that team members are taking on with these additional responsibilities. And where possible, consider some tangible recognition. So whether it's something like, you know, time off later, whether it's development opportunities, or sometimes just treating your team to lunch to appreciate the fact that, you know, they're taking on more responsibilities through this period. So I think recognition. We underestimate the power of recognition as leaders. Recognition is a really, really powerful way to boost, to continue boosting the morale of your team. And then lastly, involve the team in the brainstorming of solutions so that they are part of the process rather than victims of it. So let them be able to, you know, brainstorm on what's the best possible way. Sometimes the team even has insight information that you don't know as a leader. And so you might take a particular project and allocate it to someone who's not necessarily the best fit. Perhaps you didn't even realize that this person who's going on maternity leave has actually already been getting additional support from another member of the team who then makes the most sense to cover. Get the team involved. When people are involved in brainstorming over the process, they own the process rather than feeling as though they were just victims, just given something that they had no say to.
What boundaries, and I like that, you know, that recognition plays and that goes far, but truly it does. Now, what boundaries need to be established in order to avoid an employee taking advantage of the situation?
I think, again, communication, communication, communication. I think when you are in leadership, one of the things you really need to strengthen is your ability to communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. So first of all, clarity in your communication. Let the expectations be very clear. What about these workload adjustments, right? So we've had a brainstorming discussion as a team. I've now, as the leader, identified exactly how we're distributing. And you know what? Just because you've brainstormed with a team doesn't necessarily mean that everything will go exactly how the team had suggested. As a leader, you still will go back. You have a bigger understanding of the organization and, you know, you have sight over what's possibly to come. So ultimately, you'll make a decision, but the team will be grateful for the fact that they were involved. So once that's clear, clearly outline those expectations around the workload adjustments have check-ins with your team members, regular check-ins where you're really making sure that this additional workload is something that they're managing. Have it in writing as well.
Yes, yes.
Right. Create a mutually agreed transition plan so that both sides know what's expected before, during, and after leave. This is really important. This is something that we often overlook. So what does this transition look like? And then also, it's really important to make sure that any policies or anything that's agreed is consistent across all team members. So if we're redistributing a particular task or particular tasks, it must be fairly. So it's not just one or two people who feel, you know, that they are carrying the workload of this particular individual.
Now, you know, when this individual is out on leave, how do we ensure employees that are on leave, that is, they remain informed about major team developments without really overwhelming them? Because remember, at this time, they are taking care of their newborn, et cetera, and yet there are important things that they need to know. I think there's that balancing act that we need to carry out. How do we do that?
I think firstly, ask people what kind of level of update they'd like and how they want to receive it. Do they want to do a fortnightly check-in or monthly check-in with you over the phone? Would they like a weekly email? I mean, obviously, even for them, they may commit to a monthly call and then find they're overwhelmed with parenting. So, you know, as much as we set these things, we must also be adaptable. But ask what level of update they would like. And there are some people who may say, I don't want to know. And we need to respect that, because if they are on maternity leave, that is the option they've taken. Obviously, what that means is when you come back from maternity leave, you're coming back without any knowledge of what's gone on. But you need to ask what level of update they'd like. And then I think have a dedicated point of contact so that they're not receiving updates from multiple people, right? If multiple people need to give updates. So for example, if someone says, okay, can I get a weekly email or a fortnightly email or a monthly email? And if you work as a team on multiple projects, then the idea is get one person who then curates everyone's update and then sends it so that you're getting just one person that's giving updates rather than emails from multiple people. And then respect boundaries. Make sure updates are informative, not intrusive, and that the people you're updating don't feel pressured to respond. Remember, you're just updating them so that they are in the loop, so they don't come back blind. But there's no pressure for them to actually respond, and this is really important.
True. I like that they're not put under pressure to actually then respond to that. The idea is to keep them informed and updated of what is happening. Now, how can leaders then foster a team culture where employees feel comfortable sharing personal updates like pregnancy without really feeling discrimination?
Yeah, that's a challenging one. And I mean, the truth of the matter is, this is not something you do overnight. This is something you build. I think we've had previous conversations about things like cultivating psychological safety. This is really important. And it's really about the relationship that you build with your people. As I said earlier, recognize that people are people, they're human beings, right? And the truth of the matter is, that's the part that needs to connect with you first. So, if you do want to cultivate an environment where your people feel safe enough to share these updates, then it starts as you build a relationship with them. So, some things that leaders can do to cultivate this psychological safety. Number one is have regular check-ins with your team. If you're a leader and you're not meeting regularly with your team, that's something that's a very quick action you can take that will really transform how you interact with members of your team. Have regular check-ins. And as part of your regular check-in, dedicate time to check in on things that are not just work. The challenge is we're tempted to just really focus on, okay, update on this project, where are we on this? Where are we? Ah, bam, 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 we're done. But dedicate time to connect with a person, right? And, be interested. Be curious about people. Get to know who they are. So I think that's the first thing. See them as a human. Connect with them regularly, provide that space, and then in that regular check-in, make time for, for connecting on what's going on with the person in general, right? Number two, you demonstrate by your actions whether you have your people's back or not. As a leader, it's important that you hold your team accountable 100%, but never throw them under the bus. So your role as a leader, when you go into meetings with your leader, for example, is to take the heat for your team member. Take the heat for your team member. They drop the ball, take the heat for them. You bring the heat to them thereafter. So don't get me wrong, we're not giving them a pass. You bring the heat to them, but don't throw your people under the bus, because when you throw your people under the bus, they don't feel safe with you at all. And then I think the last thing is, if you want to create that psychological safety, be interested in their progression. So be invested in their growth. Help them to grow as well, because then they see that, yeah, you're interested in them and what's good for them.
Man, being an employee and employer is rather difficult. Now, when they are on leave, Musha, would it be your place as an employer to say, "Hey, how's the baby going?"
I think that really depends on the kind of relationship you've cultivated with them and the kind of individual they are. There are some people in your team who are private, who are private and will remain private. They are not the kind to share updates. They are not going to send you pictures of their little one. They are not going to tell you when it's their child's birthday or anything like that. And that's okay. I think that as a leader, your role is to provide an environment that allows someone who wants to share, but it's not about forcing them to do so, right? So I think that really depends on the individual and the relationship you've built with them and their personality, what they are comfortable with. I think as a leader, the key is to take the lead from them. Let it be about them, what they share and what you ask.
Well, Musha Mlingo, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a fantastic, fantastic time talking to you, as always, by the way. And
Thank
thank you
you.
so much. And have a blessed afternoon.
Thank you. thank you. It was my birthday on Monday, by the way.
Wow.
So happy birthday to me.
Belated birthday greetings to you. Belated birthday greetings.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lovely. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Thanks.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.